know to appreciate this beautiful new table that we Yeshiva got for us this year. Very nice table. And in order to keep it nice and clean, we bought the tablecloths. And so we would like to make sure that there's no food there, because we want to keep it on the tablecloth. And please make sure, when you're in this room for an event that has food, that you put on the tablecloths first. This may look simple, but there are really three tablecloths here. One, two, three. There we go. So yishkoach to the yeshiva for... Daniel Fine said the table looks like Og Melech HaBashan's coffin. But there are different vantage points on this.
Night.
Tov again to Tanel. Mazel Tov to Justin. Where's Justin? Okay, in abstention. And thank you to the Gages for sponsoring tonight's Kiddush, which we'll soon have. But first, let me share some words with you. And like I said, usually it would be at a later time. Mazel Tov to Aaron. Oh, we can have a separate thing for Aaron. So, usually Musa will be at a later hour. Tonight we want to end a little bit earlier. But still, an important part of component of Mishmar, it's not just the learning and the culmination of the week's learning with Chaburot, but to reflect a little bit on the themes of the week, on the themes leading into Shabbat. And I want to take two from the parsha that I think are particularly relevant at the start of the year in Yeshiva. It doesn't matter what year you're starting in Yeshiva. The experience of being in Yeshiva is something that in order to maximize, you want to reflect properly on before beginning. The first piece I want to focus on is at the beginning of the parsha. It says, Ki yipalei mimcha davar lamishpat. When there's something, what's yipalei? Anyone, literally, what's the word yipalei? What? It means literally above you. Like lo nifleiti b'shamayim. Something above you. When there's something above you, interesting way of describing it. Question about dam ladam, choshen mishpat, din ladin, tarot, nega lanega. Divrei rivot b'sharecha. There's a machloket. Happens sometimes in Judaism. Very interesting formulation. The Torah doesn't say you go to court. Listen carefully to what it says. V'kamta v'alita el makom asher yivchar Hashem Elokecha bo. Let's translate those words. V'kamta. What does it mean? V'alita. You go up. El makom asher yivchar Hashem. Why do we have this whole thing? It should just say you go to court. You ask the shayla. Today's day, you send an email. Have a shayla. Email. What? Why does the Torah specify this process in these terms? Obviously, you get up. Obviously, you walk up. What's it trying to teach us? And it says you come to the Kohanim, the Levim, the Shofet that's there. He tells you the Psak, V'yasita al pi hadavar asher yagidu lecha. You are to do based upon what you're told, to the point where, listen carefully, lo tasur min hadavar asher yagidu lecha yamin u'smal. Don't deviate from what you're told to the right or the left. The Gemara even darshans that when you're told, even if they tell you your right hand is your left hand, you have to listen. Why? In fact, if a person intentionally violates, Torah says, "Umei ta'ishahu uviyarta aram Yisrael." We kill the person who disagrees with the Beis Din. And this, of course, is not the halacha b'zman hazeh. If a person disagrees with the Beis Din may want to kill him, but we don't. Why? Because we're missing the central component of this parsha. V'kamta v'alita el makom asher yivchar Hashem Elokecha bo. V'asita al pi hadavar asher yagidu lecha. I skipped a few words. Min ha-makom ha-hu asher yivchar Hashem. The only way we kill the person is if the psak is coming from the place that God has chosen. In such a scenario, you're a mitzvah to listen to exactly what you're told. Lo tasur min haderech asher emru lach min hadavar asher yagidu lach yamin usmol ve'yish asher yaseh v'zadon u'meit ha'ishahu v'yart ha'am Yisrael. And I think the reason is very basic and very important. The Torah sees a halachic question not just as a quandary, as a conundrum, but as an opportunity. Most of our lives, we're used to assuming that we know already everything there is to know. And it could be there's a particular point, but that's a particular point. We fill that point in, and then we're complete. You have a question, you go online, you ask Rav Google, you get the answer, next. The Torah doesn't see it that way. The Torah sees having a question as an opportunity to realize that there are things above you. That you need, as you guys would say, to take it to the next level. If you have a question, it's the opportunity to recognize that there's something basic missing in your life. And in order to fill that in, you don't go to a court. In order to fill that in, you make aliyah. Not in the conventional B'nai Akiva sense of the word, not that I have anything against that, that you physically move from Chutz Laretz to Israel. but that you make aliyah in the true sense of the word. You take yourself to a higher level. And one of the biggest problems with the conventional sense of aliyah is that people think that when they physically have moved from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael, or in your case, when you come for the year in Israel, okay, I did it. I made aliyah. Roll out the red carpet or the brown tablecloth, the proverbial red carpet, and I'm here. I came for my year in Israel. Check. Done. I got my sweatshirt. Seder. I passed through this, you know, rite of passage of eating Israeli food for a year, if that's not an oxymoron, you know, of suffering through a year in yeshiva, and I was yotze, and everything's done, and I have my notebooks and my halachic questions, and I got my answers, and okay, goodbye. The question is whether a person is mature enough to recognize that there are things higher than them. There are things above them. That every stage in life is about taking advantage of the opportunities to go higher. There's that song that definitely was written when someone was doped up, right? Higher, higher. I'm thinking like helium balloon doped up, you know what I'm saying? Higher, higher, higher. Now, put the song aside for a second. The idea is true. You don't go to a Beis Din with a question. You go to the place that God has chosen. And you go there so that you can come out higher. And that's why the Torah stresses V'kamta V'alita. And there's two stages. The second stage is the obvious one, V'alita. But the first one is V'kamta, because you can't get up. You can't go up, excuse me, if you don't get up. Most of us, there's something special, some special feeling of sitting in a chair, particularly a comfortable, cushy chair. When a person is sitting in those comfortable, cushy chairs, I'm talking about the ones that kick back and the foot thing comes up, right? The two-in-one motion. You push that one button, you think you're going back. You're going back and up at the same time. I'm talking business class on an airline. Not that I would know, but you understand what I'm talking about. You're sitting in that chair. Human beings have a affinity for going nowhere. For sitting on their hump. Use that word, right? Literally and figuratively. The last thing we want is to move somewhere. And that's why the Torah tells us, when you find something that's above you, don't try and close the gap without genuinely raising yourself up. Get up! V'kamta! V'alita el makom she'evchar Hashem. And this is true for what was the Beis Din that sat in that place. And it's true in going to the Israel for the year. It's true in going to yeshiva in Israel for the year. And it's nowhere truer than going to yeshiva opposite the Makom HaShev Char Hashem for the year. And part of the reality of where you are for the year that's hard to internalize is to take this book that we're used to reading in Chutz Laretz, right, in Hendon Adas, or Beth Abraham, or, you know, wherever it is, Young Israel with Mir, right? You know, Suburban. I got it right. Shomri Amun, I don't know, whichever one you want. Right? What?
Beth Abraham.
Beth Abraham, oh yes, okay. Each one of their Beth Abraham. Taking this book, which is theoretical, which is irrelevant, which is about some other world, and connecting it to this place. Because when you're learning the yeshiva in the middle of nowhere, you're learning a yeshiva in the middle of nowhere. It's true, it's in the biblical land of the forefathers. When we read in this week's parsha about the Mokom HaShev Yivchar Hashem, Rabbi Isai, look out the window. When we read about what being in that place is supposed to mean, stop for a second to remind yourself that you're there. That in the week of the parsha of V'kamta V'alita El Makom HaShev Char Hashem, you kamta then alita to the Makom HaShev Char Hashem. Physically. The question is whether you did it for real. And any journey is defined, is determined by how you set out on it. And that's why this week, this Mishmar, this Parsha is essential, because we need to make sure for ourselves that the year experience we're setting out for is going to be one that we are getting up for, going up for, and ready to come out of on a higher level. When I say come out of on a higher level, I don't mean a higher level of tzitzis out of your pocket, or a higher level of a hairline because you shave your hair, or longer payas, or different color shirts, all of which are legitimate expressions of Avodat Hashem, if, you know, that helps you express your Avodat Hashem. But none of which are in and of themselves an expression of growth. It's easy to come to yeshiva. It's a plane ride. And, you know, a few suitcases full of Cocoa Puffs feels much easier than it is to grow as a person. Real growth, just to become more mature, to become more connected to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to become more refined, to become a finer, higher person. And that's the bracha I would give to you based on the beginning of the parasha. I hope that for each one of you, you'll begin your year with a kima that leads to an aliyah. That's rooted in the recognition of Ki Yipaleh Mimcha Davar. So that's the first point that I wanted to make to you. The second point is connected to the end of the parasha. The end of the parasha speaks about scenarios of war, or if you're from England, scenarios of war. Okay. To each their own. It's still war. And war, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again. War, what is it good for? Say it again. See, the problem when you start that is, you just don't get out the other end. It's like those nigunim that they just never don't have an end. There's a beginning, middle, end, beginning. You know, it's just there's no end. So war, what is it good for? Thank you very much for not saying, because if you say absolutely nothing, I gotta say it again. If you don't answer, then we just be like, you with me there, John? How do we say scenario in French?
Scenario.
That did sound different enough. So what you would say? And it says here that when you lay siege to a city, sounds like a bunch of Hebrew, especially in Sfaradit when I used to hear it. I'll read it for you so you understand. Sound better now? Lo tashkes es eitzel in doichel of garzen, ki mi menu toichel, ve oisei loy sichreis. Now you understand that, right? Okay. When you're laying siege to a city, don't cut down a fruit tree to use it as a battering ram. This is the source of the iser of? Al tashkes. Okay. But the pasuk ends with an unbelievably shocking image. Ki ha'adam eitz ha'sadeh lavo mipanecha b'matzor. Because man is essentially the tree of the field. Are we a tree? Abraham, was you a tree? I don't think so. Maybe in your eighth grade play. Tree? Oh! See that? Tree three. In the flesh. He's still wearing the kippah from it. Oh, you changed your green kippah? Where's the green one? Oh, okay. He was wearing the kippah. In any case, what does it mean that man is a tree? It says, don't cut down a fruit tree because man is a tree. You understand the question? What's the deal? I think the answer comes in the very next piece. The very next piece says, when we find a human corpse, we find a dead body. So what happens today when people find a dead body? They call bones. What?
Autopsy.
They do autopsy. Okay. And what do they do? Let's say we don't know who killed them. What do we do?
Forensic.
Nothing. What?
Forensic investigation.
And what happens after CSI and bones and, you know, Agent Seeley are done? Okay. Just another poor sucker in the city. How many murders go unsolved in New York City a year? Anyone knows? How many senseless, without knowledge of the murderers, go on in North America in a year? Thousands. You know what the Torah says? We have to measure. And it's a whole process of measuring. The distance between that closest cities, it's a meticulous system. And the rabbis of that closest city have to come out. And they have to wash their hands over the body. And a whole ceremony. We take this calf. We cut its head off. If you're a calf who's never worked, make sure you don't live in Israel. Live in North America where they don't do this. So we cut the head off of this poor dude. And then they have to say a tefillah. They have to say we're not responsible. They have to ask for kapara. Kapara liyamcha Yisrael. Asher padita Hashem. V'al titein dam naki bekerev amcha Yisrael. V'ni kapara lahem adam. What kapara? Someone killed someone else. What do we have to do with it? There needs to be a kapara. Very strange ceremony here. Torah says, we take this calf that's never worked. We take it down to a ravine where work has never been done in it. And we cut the head off there. Rashi's trouble, name of Chazal, Marin Sota. What does this mean? Rashi quotes the Gemara, which says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says. Now, you know, that's pretty good. Meaning there's Rashi says, the Ramban says, Rav Heller says, and then there's God says. So, you know, I respect the aforementioned, you know, Pshatim, all of them, but God says is more than Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. And when Chazal quote God, they're trying to tell you this is an authoritative Pshat. Because, you know, he's a G-man. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tavo egla bat shnata shelo asta perot v'te'aref b'makom she'eino oseh perot l'chaper al harigato shel zeh shelo hinichu la'asot perot. The symbolism of taking the calf that's never worked and destroying it in a place where work has never been done is to drive home the message of the need for kapara, for the loss of a human being who was not able to make his perot. Now listen carefully. How did Chazal know that the message of this piece is about the importance of a human being making perot? Somebody say it. The context juxtaposition to man is the tree of the field. If you say man is the tree of the field, and therefore you shouldn't destroy the trees, when we see a human tree, not you, but tree number two, right, destroyed, we got to be mechaper for that. The loss of perot. So you guys ready for Gemara, Talmudic logic? You ready? The Gemara in its original, Sota Daf Mem Vav, says, what perot are we talking about? So I would say, children. A person has the ability to make children. Making children, by the way, is the greatest thing that a human being can do. It's the way we're most like God. We create Peru Revu Maluat Aretz, the first most basic mitzvah rabba. The Gemara says, maybe it's talking about the fact that the person can't make children, he's dead. So the Gemara says, my perot, ilema period verivya, elameyato, azokain vasris, hochanami de lo arfinon. What if it's an old man who was killed? Or a person, a sterile person, maybe you don't have to do egla rufa. Oh! Right? Stop parents. Well, it says two words. Ela mitzvot. The perot we're referring to here are lav dafka children, although children are the best creations as far as what they can accomplish in this world. We're referring to mitzvot. Every human being has the potential to do something good, to do something worthwhile at every moment in life. I want to tell you an unbelievable halacha. You ready? Max, you ready for this? The halacha is that if there's a human being in a coma, lying on his deathbed, and you come and you close his eyelids, you're considered a murderer. We don't kill you for it, but you're considered a murderer. Our society does not value people who are, you know, out of use. old machinery. They can't produce. Judaism values any human being that God sustains life in. If you are still alive, it's because there's something you can accomplish. Every one of you is created special by God with the ability to do special things at every moment of your life. And that's why every life is precious. And if there's a human being's life who's taken, there's a need for kapara. And there's a need to take it seriously. And that's why we have to be careful how we treat a tree. Because we have to appreciate and protect the potential of everything that God creates. And the danger is that if we cheapen and disgrace the potential of a tree, we'll come to disgrace the potential of a human being. We need to be sensitive to everything and what it can do. But most importantly, more than we need to be sensitive to trees, and more than we need to be sensitive to tree number two, we need to be sensitive to our own tree. And that's the worst thing. The worst thing is when people waste their own potential. There's nothing sadder, really, than seeing people who can accomplish, not accomplishing. I want to tell you a story about the Netziv. That's maybe one of the most popular stories here in Yeshivat HaKotel. I hope I'm the first Rebbe to say it this week. If not, I apologize. Well, who said it? Father said it? Before he said it?
He must have said it by now.
Okay. Stop me, because it's an important story. The Netziv. You've heard of the Netziv. The Netziv put out a sefer towards the end of his life called the Hamik Sheila. He had put out many sefarim and made a big party when he put out the sefer. Invited all of his friends. They said, why the big party? He said, I want to tell you a story. When I was a little kid, I was a real wild kid. Seems like a lot of gedolim were that way. So if you were a wild kid, no, you have the potential to be a gedolim. If you were just a simple, you know, loser kid, well, I don't know how far you can go. But if you were a wild kid, you know, pulling pranks on other people, doing evil things, it means you have a lot of potential. Okay. I'm not talking about myself. So the Netziv, it seems, was a wild kid. His parents tried everything. It wasn't working. He was just a wild kid. So one night, his parents were speaking over in the kitchen, or whatever the equivalent of that in 19th century Eastern Europe was. And they're saying, our son is obviously not going to amount to anything special. Netziv, his name is Naftali. Not this one. That one's not going to amount to anything special. We're going to send him off. No more yeshiva for him. We'll send him off to be a carpenter. Okay. The Netziv heard this, and he knew that he could be more. He came to the room, he said to his parents, I can be more. Give me another chance to be who I can be. His parents gave him another chance, he became the Netziv. He goes, now that I put out this book, I want to celebrate something. Because you know what? Let's say I had become a carpenter or a shoemaker or whatever, I had become. I would have been an Erlich shoemaker, from, good guy shoemaker. I would have lived my life properly. I would have gone up to Shamayim, to the pearly gates. And I would have expected immediate entry with Rav Nevensal. I had Davin Shachar's on time. Everything's fine. And God would have said to me, shoemaker, where's the Hamik Sheila? Where's the Hamik Dover? Where's the Merome Sada? And I would have said, huh? Thank God I realized my potential. I didn't miss the boat. And he tells stories about the Netziv. Okay, very nice. Netziv is a great guy. I'm saying, okay, my name's not Naftali, so I got to hope. I want to tell you a personal story. It's a true story. When I was a little kid, I once had a dream. Any of you ever see the movie Grease? Way before your time. When I was a kid, came out when I was a young kid, I saw it like six times. Now, to understand seeing it six times, there were no videos. It meant you went to the theater to see it six times. Now, that's very hard. Let me explain to you why. Because it's true I grew up in Brooklyn. And if you grew up in Brooklyn, you went to a movie theater where they were showing six movies, it was considered usher to leave without having seen all six. Because, no, that means you weren't Jewish. You pay one ticket, you go to six movies. You understand what I'm trying to say? Okay. But that's moving from theater to theater early enough in the movie that they're not blocking the the exit back to the theater. Right, but late enough that you saw the movie. But you can't see the same movie because if you wait till the movie ends for the next showing, they clear out the hole. So to see it six times, you have to pay six admissions. I did that. Go grease lightning, burning up the corner, yeah. Grease lightning, go grease lightning, burning up the corner. I know Summer Lovin' by heart. Summer Lovin', having a blast. I can do the Olivia Newton-John parts too. I won't. But I can. Crazy for me. Remember Perm. Perm will do the Olivia Newton-John part. Okay. Raps will be John Travolta, I'll be Olivia Newton-John. You'll bring the wig. Okay. Scene in Greece that boys don't watch because it's like a girly scene. It's about where this woman is having a dream about a beauty salon. Beauty school dropout. Etc. And all these angels in the sky in a beauty salon by the bar. So, you know, you watch a movie too many times, that's your dream. So one night, I'm dreaming after having watched Grease, go Grease Lightning. And the first part of the dream is good because it's Grease Lightning, go Grease Lightning. And all of a sudden, comes the next scene. And what's the next scene? I'm by the bar. Beauty school dropout. And I'm there, you know, etc. You know, I'm sitting there by the bar, not having orange juice, and, you know, little kids. And sitting there with some others, and I say to the bartender, okay, so how am I going back down now? I said, what do you mean? I said, you know, I finished that life, now I'm going to live another life. And the bartender says, no, that was your last life. And I say, my last life? Come on, you know, we keep going back down, right? He says, no, that was your last one. I said, that's not fair. You know, I didn't know it was my last one. If I knew it was the last one, I would have, you know, watched Grease a few more times, right? You know, I'm just, you got to do this to me. So he goes, no, that was your last one. Now, what's interesting about dreams is there's no logic, right? So, like, I don't know how long, but for days and years, I'm debating back and forth. No, I can't be it. You can tell me it's my last one. I got another chance. No, you don't have another chance. No, okay. And it seems totally sensible to just say the same thing back and forth, kind of like arguing a Gemara with an Israeli. Right? You can say one thing, he'll say the other thing. You can say one thing, he'll say the other thing. You can say one thing, he'll say the other thing. You can say one thing, he'll say the other thing. You just keep going. You can go a few days. One thing, another thing. Another thing, one thing. When I first year in Yeshiva, a lot of Israelis came to ask me questions. And so, you know, I would give them an answer, and they would start screaming at me. So, A, you know, I didn't like people screaming at me. B, I didn't understand what they were saying. Three, I didn't have time. And he's screaming at me. He's just screaming at me. You know, I don't know what he's talking about. No matter what I said, they screamed at me. I don't understand. A person asked me a question, and they're screaming at me. It took me a while, but finally I learned how to deal with it. A person came to me, asked me a question. I gave him an answer. He started screaming. I said, yeah, that's what I said. He goes, okay. So that's my advice. And he asks you a question, you give him the answer. He starts screaming, you say, yeah. And that's it. You've saved yourself headache, heartache, and a few hours. But in a dream, you don't think. So I didn't realize I should just say, yeah, what you said. You know, going back down again. And so back and forth. I should be going back down. You're not going back. I'm going to go back down. And I said, finally, you have to give me another chance. A person needs to know when it needs to count. And then I woke up. Now, I don't think that's the message of Greece. I don't think so. But the point for me was, we take it for granted. We take it for granted. As you get older, you have more and more of life to look back on. And it can be very sad. Because the question is, how much do you have to show for it? You know, we're learning Yoma, right? You guys know we're learning Yoma. I've learned Yoma before. Once or twice. And when I come to learn Yoma again, it's like interesting for me because it reminds me of the last time, where I was in life when I learned Yoma last. And in my notes, I remember, you know, so much of what was going on when I wrote those notes, especially if I was eating lunch when I wrote those notes. You know, Oh, that was a good meal. But not just that. Sometimes I'll find in my Gemara, I take it out, the list of chavrusas or talmidim who were in my shir when we did it. So I found Ari Clark's name today. My Gemara. Not Yom, whatever, anyway. And it just gives you a frame of reference. And the natural question I ask myself is, who was I then? Who am I tonight, now? And have the last years of my life been qualitatively? And you know what that means, right? You can have a report that you don't do a thing for 3 weeks on. And then you work intensely for 8 hours and you make this whole thing. Those 8 hours were worth more than 3 weeks. We know what it means to make something with our time in life. The question is whether we take advantage of it and what we take advantage of it for. And that is a huge message of Parshat Shoftim. Ki ha'adam etzas adam. And if we need kapara for the life of a person that was taken by another person that we don't even know, how much kapara do we need for our own lives that we take and waste? Kapar le'amcha Yisrael. I remember when I was a kid, I used to have HBO Comedy Hour. And it was clean, so you could actually watch it. There used to be this organization, I don't know if it still exists, the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. Now, I don't think you could name an organization that today. So they used to have a commercial where like a, you know, African-American athlete would walk out, you know, different athletes from, you know, would walk out and say, you know, give to the NAACP because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And so in the Comedy Hour, that guy comes out, college football, he goes, give to the NAACP because a mind is a terrible thing. And he walks off. That kind of stuck with me. That's how I remember the, you know, the real line. A mind's a terrible thing to waste. How many gifts have HaKadosh Baruch Hu given each one of you in this room? Enough to get you into Shivat HaKotel. And that's not so pasha. You must have something going for you. A lot more than something. And you know, if you're a person without a lot of gifts, so you're not wasting very much. But if you have a lot of gifts, it comes with responsibility. What are you going to do with it? What difference are you going to make in this world? And that is a natural outgrowth of the person you develop yourself into. And you know, the sad thing is that you come and you meet guys who are Shana Ben. You meet guys who are Shana Gimel. Shana Dalet, Shana Hey, Sholem Shivim, Madrichim, Rebbeim. And you figure, okay, you know, they were born that way. No, they weren't. I can tell you, trust me. I taught Rav Heller. I taught Rav Horn. I didn't teach Rav Kotler, but he's fine. Anyway. And I remember what they were when they first showed up. They were kind of like you. And, you know, that's bad for you. Because if they were all, like, frum and learned and everything, so then you could say, oh, but if they were kind of like you, so then, you know, that means you can kind of be like them. And it's all a matter of what you do with yourself. Not just this year. But it's about starting to take your lives, your time, your ability, your potential serious, very seriously. And to realize that every moment counts. I want to tell you something really cool. You ready? Kaz, you ready? When we waste time, we could be using for learning. And learning is not the only valuable thing, but you know, learning is a thing you could always be doing. What do we call it in Judaism? What should we call it in Hebrew? Who's in the highest Olpan group? Takvin, you raise your hand? No? Oh, very good. Very good. Wow. Deutsch did a great job today. Very impressive. Okay. Business waste or Bittulsmann? Bittul. What do we call it? We call it Bittul Torah. Now why? Let's say Seidler, you know, could have been learning, you know, Yoma Pei Beis. And instead he's hocking around with Feingold. I'm not saying you were. I'm just saying theoretically. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So I don't understand. Now Yoma Pei Beis disappears. It's Bittul Torah. The Torah is gone. The page is still here. Wait a second. Okay. Hertzberg, can you be learning Satz Menvav now? But now you can't. Okay. So now, let's wait. One, two, three. You could have been learning two lines, right? Are they still there?
Yes.
It's true. Wait, maybe Gemara thinks you should have been learning other lines. All right. Yeah, they're still there too. What's Bittul Torah? I don't understand. So I'm going to tell you something, Rav Kook, who will speak more about tomorrow on the walking tour. And those coming on the walking tour, please meet me at the door at 8:25 with a hat, water, and a Tanakh, which I didn't mention. Now, the good news is you have a Tanakh. Light bulb. And it's easy to find because it's got my name on it. Or at least that Hebrew thing that they call me up when I go to the Torah, right? So, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, Rav Kook said. Rav Kook said, listen carefully. Shmuley, listen carefully. Okay. Rav Kook says, Lehman, you ready for Rav Kook said? Pinchas, you ready? Rav Kook says that the way every person in this world interfaces with Torah is different than everyone else who've ever existed and will ever exist. The way Eitan Phillips relates to a piece of the Gemara is unique to him, and no one else can replicate it. So when Roni Sugarman, not saying he would or did or you know, would do or could do, but if he would miss a moment, he could have been learning. That piece of Torah that he would have interfaced in his unique way is forever lost. That's not like a rabbi guilt trip. It's a wow, my learning makes a difference. Of Ariel Wallace, or Jonathan Davis, or, you know, and I could spend all night naming everybody. But anyone in the room, Lizzie Hill and Donnie Cohen, and, you know, everybody. Yada yada, Daniel Dorn. Should realize that what they make themselves in every aspect of their potential is unique and only fillable by Josh Zeltzer. So Eli Gastelwith makes a very big difference, right, Yaakov Kaplan? Right, Chaim Shulman? We make a very big difference. Right, Benji Arvitz? We make a very big difference. Noam Vanunu, we make a big difference. Josh Altman makes a big difference. Avishav Engel makes a big difference. Right, Seedley, make a big difference. And you see it in other people when you meet the Mayor Friedman, who is the great person he can be. You see what other people can be. But the problem is we don't see who we can be. We see ourselves as small. We see ourselves as not having the potential to really make a difference. To be Andy Joshua. If I'm forgetting someone who I don't see, I apologize. I mean everybody, right? David Barnes. Right, Elon Chair? Everybody. Noah Brown. Jonathan Levine. Charlie Freeman. I mean everybody. Oh, there's Ari Schiff. Oh, I mean Ari Schiff. Oh, very nice. Oh, I mean Sajid Tuckman. Of Sajid gone. Okay. And whoever's hiding, I can't see all the people hiding. Oh, I see Dobie Levinson. Oh, I see Dobie Levinson. Oh, I see Dobie. I saw Benji Horowitz already. Yeah, there he is. Okay, very nice. Who else do I see? Oh, how could we forget Ben Younger? We didn't see him. I wasn't forgetting. When I met Ben Younger in his interview, he knew more Hebrew than anyone else I met the whole time I was in America. Opan group number one? Three! Oh, you faked it on the interview, right? Which one? Okay, anyway. You guys get the point? When I look at each and every one of you, I don't see the person you are today. I see the person I know you can become. And it's not because I'm a prophet. It's because I've taught so many kids, and each one of you is unique and different. But there are similar strokes. I see the person you can become. And that excites me. You know, people wonder, Tarragon, why do you like us? You don't even know us. You don't do it. Because I'm excited about who you can be. And every Rebbe and every staff member in this yeshiva is going to do everything they can and much more than they can and schwitz and sweat and spill their guts and lie down on train tracks for you. But there's one thing we can do, and that is do it. And how much you accomplish this year is going to be a direct result and exactly proportional to how much effort you put in, which has to do with how much you feel you can accomplish and you need to accomplish. Doesn't mean you got to be a crazy person. It doesn't mean you got to not go out for dinner, you know, go out with friends on Matzah Shabbos. It just means you got to do the right things. You got to be committed to the right things. It doesn't take magic to succeed in Yeshivat HaKotel. In many yeshivas it does, but not here. It just takes plugging. Building relationships with Rebbeim. Trusting, and Rebbeim here don't brainwash. Trusting, believing in yourself. Connecting to it, being part of it. Not on the outside, on the inside. Understanding that you're connecting to Eitz Chaim Hila Machazikim Ba. To something that's going to give you V'chaye Olam Nata B'tochein. And realizing that on the other end of that tunnel is a life that you'll feel is worth living. And the reason I'm taking out my phone is not because I have an obsession with taking pictures, which I may have. That's not why I'm taking out my phone. And the reason I have an obsession with taking pictures is because I know it means to the people that I send them to. And I understand how important it is for your parents, because I'm a parent. And I took out my phone because I want to read an email I got from a boy who was here last year. Hi, Rebbe. With yeshiva around the corner, I really do wish I could be joining you guys. But we tried our best, and there are exciting opportunities in the road ahead while making the best of every situation. I want to thank you for the most amazing experience of my life. Words cannot come close to expressing how much I owe you. HaKotel made me into a person with true meaning in my life and a foundation for a future which now has strong, important goals ahead. The list is endless. But to start, I just visited X and Y in Camp Z, and it reminded me of the special closeness of Rebbeim and friends that there really was. The development of a connection and love to Eretz Yisrael was amazing. One very personal aspect that I myself kind of overlooked sometimes was my character development. Not just morals and values, but more like a personality. Like more friendly, sociable, adult-like, etc., which was huge for me. There's so many more, but most importantly, the development into someone who cares about Torah and Yiddishkeit and future growing within them. From having the special opportunity to be in your shir in the multitudes of afternoons and variant shiurim, I gained a wealth of knowledge, but even more, a love for Torah. Observing the way the Rebbeim conduct themselves in everyday life, plus the way they teach with the excitement and passion and their brilliance in Torah, really has given me the strength that I need to push myself to be as great as I can be. It's not just the learning, it's every single experience. Talk with the entire staff, yeshiva and talmidim, that together make it all work and make those indescribable in-between-the-lines kind of experiences. Thank you all so much for your personal help and care and talks when I needed it, and the nosebleed on Purim too. And thank you for Yeshivat HaKotel. I couldn't have asked for a better year in any way, and I'm ecstatic in the way it turned out with all the tools I gained and ingrained within me, excited to utilize them in moving on to the big stage and Be'ezrat Hashem doing great things.
Signed.
Dov Hitzberg. I'm not reading it so you should say, wow, I'm lucky to be Yeshivat HaKotel. That's not the point. The point is you should realize what a year can mean. That you can look back and realize that you had no idea of what you could accomplish. And you don't need magic dust. You just need to commit yourself to it. The Kamta Vialita. You need to start off and internalize. Baruch Elokeinu Shebranu Lechvodo. Not to see being alive as some random mistake of nature. Not to be the way we're used to seeing ourselves from living in Chutz Laretz, as some weird people who can't enjoy the what life is supposed to be enjoyed. Sad for me, I'm Jewish. If I was a guy, look at all the great things I could do. I could take my shirt off on Shabbat afternoon, spray paint my chest, and root for the local sports team. Oh, poor me. I have to be in shul and look respectable. Darn. It's amazing how society can make us jealous of ludicrous conduct. I could be drunk and rolling around in the street. I live in England. It's par for the course. I could be an asinine waste of a life. I live in America and have no purpose or value. And instead I am Jewish. Baruch Elokeinu Shebrenu Lechvodo. And you may not know fully yet what that means, but to understand it enough to want to understand what that means. And if you don't understand what it means, to feel bad that you don't understand what it means. And if you don't feel bad that you don't understand what it means, to at least feel bad that you don't feel bad that you don't understand what it means. And if you don't feel bad that you don't feel bad that you don't understand what it means, you should at least feel bad that you don't feel bad that you don't feel bad that you don't understand what it means. Because at least then there's a hope that you'll get up and go somewhere. Baruch Elokeinu Shebranu Lechvodo. Vehivdilanu min hatoim. The wanderers. They're every place. It's a song. People may have told you that when you come to Shiva Dakota, you have to get ready for random references by Rav Tarrigan of things no one has ever heard of. And you have to do the nod. Because if you don't nod, he'll just like start telling you who sang it and when they sang it. If you just nod, he'll move on. So look at Gage. Like the song, you're a wanderer. They're every place. Just move on with the Torah attack. Just leave the music in the past. V'natan lanu Torat emet, that we can grab onto. The Eitz Chaim, where the tree can flower. The choice you begin to make today is whether to live a life that's really about death, because Rishayim afilu b'chayim kriyim mesim, or to live a life that's about something eternal, that lasts forever. There are a lot of people in the world who are Rav Nevin Sal's age. Most of them, though, have very little value to show for it. And I know that in the 3 years since I learned Yuma last, I've had some wonderful talmidim. Many of them in this room here. Many of them not in this room here. I've made a difference. I know I've grown through my relationships with them. I know the pirushim I've wrote on things. I know the svarim I've learned. I know the shiurim I've created. I know the 512 shiurim that have been uploaded to YU Torah in the last, 12 months. That's something. And all of you can be doing that. Not today. Today you can be writing a Dvar Torah on Parsha Shoftim to send to all your family and friends. And put me on your list. Kiteitzeh, I want to be get a Dvar Torah from everyone, Parsha Kiteitzeh. Shmuel, you'll send me a Dvar Torah, Parsha Kiteitzeh. Sorry to put you on the spot. I didn't mean to, Well, I guess there's no backing down from there, right? Let's do it! Upstairs! Who wants to get Shmuel's Dvar Torah? Think how much people you can teach Torah to. How many Jews live in Memphis who don't read any Torah every week? A lot. How many Jews live in Memphis? About?
Maybe 10,000.
Okay, so 10,000 Jews don't read Torah every week, right? Shmuel, think about it. Well, let's take Avi Feiner out. It's 9,900. Okay, the Froni, his father. The Rabbi Finkelsteins, a lot of them. Let's say there's 9,500 who are in the clear, right? 9,500 who are in the clear. 9,000 who are in the clear. 9,000 people are waiting for Shmuel Summer. And Andy Joshowitz. There's Jews in Pittsburgh. There are. Not just Ben Roethlisberger. They're Jews. Not just McCutcheon. There are Jews in Pittsburgh. Don't worry. The Pirates will implode. It's after the All-Star break. And they're just doing better a little bit longer to stretch your hopes out just a little bit more. To stop them! You just be ready, Andy. Don't let them build you up, man. Baruch Elokeinu Shebranu Lechvodo, and that Andy Joshowitz is in Miritz Hashem going to continue growing as a person who will still be a Pirate fan. Well, it's fun, what can you do? Some people have to root for teams that are 20 years, below 500, right? Okay, you have your allegiances, but whose life will be about so much more. You're picking on me, eh? Now, next week, Dvar Torah, Parsha Kiteitzeh, Andy Joshowitz. You can't write Shmuel's. You got to have your own.
So can I send it to Memphis?
Can we work on it together?
Happy to. No, this is his turf. You have, the Mideast. You got Pittsburgh, Columbus, Cleveland, that whole vicinity. Leave him Memphis. He writes to Elvis. Okay. Josh Lehman. Tar Torah Pashki Tetze. Mayor Friedman. Mayor Friedman's Tar Torah is going to be very special, I'm sure. Right? Abdov.
It's Rabbi.
Just sing a little bit, no?
Yeah, sounds good.
Baruch Hu. Let's all sing. If you're not interested in singing, at least be quiet so you don't disturb the broader atmosphere. We're created for something. It begins with that. Does a person see themselves as a fluke of nature because some man and some woman decided to have a child? Or do they see themselves as existing because a third partner put them here for some greater, higher purpose? L'chvodo. That's where it all begins. It begins with internalizing that fact, that truth. Again, let's internalize it. And the greatest gift is separating us and giving us the way to realize it. Share a new day.
Supposed to be drinking popcorn, forgot to get this week.